message is from Family Worship Center. This message will not only build your life, but will make you experience the transforming love of God. Open up your heart and be blessed.
Thank you, Lord, because the entrance of your word brings light and it brings understanding. Let my tongue this morning be like the pen of a ready writer. Father, cause my heart to indict matters from your throne. And Lord, help me to speak your mysteries in very simple ways and terms. And let your name be glorified. I declare that your word will not fall to the ground. And nobody listening to me will slip off on me. Lord, that your grace keeps them awake in the name of Jesus. I bind every thief from stealing any word. No word will be stolen and none will fall to the ground. I declare that as we hear, we do. We are doers of the word. Therefore, we are blessed. We are blessed. We hear, we do, and we are blessed. That is our confession. In the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit of error, the spirit of falsehood, and the spirit of manipulation. It does not exist on this altar. Let your kingdom come and your will be done. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22, and I'm going to read a few verses there. Hallelujah. What a presence. Matthew chapter 22, verse 35. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, let's read together. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart," everybody, "with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it." What is it? "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Praise the Lord. John chapter 13, just one verse. John chapter 13, verse 34. Let's read it together. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have. How should we love one another? As he has loved us. That is how we should love one another. And then 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter 2, 21. Can we read it together? "For to this, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps." Praise the Lord. So we still stay on our theme of the year, following Jesus and doing what? We are fishing for men. We are following Jesus this year, and we are fishing for men. Now, I've really enjoyed teaching the last 3 weeks. I've really loved to study about Jesus, and I want you to dig into my friend is listening. I'm sure Camisa is listening right now from America, and she has embarked on studying the life of Jesus. She has started from Matthew. If you don't start from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will not know Jesus. I want us all to know Jesus. I want us to know our prophet, to know our God, to know our Savior. So go into the book of Mark, Luke, and John. See what Jesus did, how he did it, why he did it, and emulate it. He said, "We shall do greater works." Praise the Lord. Now, last week, we said that of the many qualities, attributes, and characteristics of Jesus, two were most striking and defining of him. And they are faith and love. Faith and love. We saw how Jesus walked by faith on a daily basis. He had absolute trust and confidence in God. The reason why he could do the miracles he did was because he had absolute trust in God. He had a personal relationship with God. He understood his sonship. He understood what sonship was all about. And if you don't know the relationship of a father and a son, you can't even understand it. And for those of us who never even saw fathers, then we must learn to for God to be our father through the understanding of Jesus' relationship with God. He was the greatest man of faith that ever lived. Nobody in history has demonstrated faith like Jesus. Nobody. No matter what they did, they didn't do half of what Jesus did. Because like I said, Jesus left heaven to come here. That is faith. To live such glory and splendor, to come and live among us. That is flesh. That is our faith. And then to agree as God to be born as a human being. That was faith. And then to live like he lived and did the things he did, that was faith. and to believe that when he died that God was going to raise him. That was faith. So nobody has ever demonstrated faith like Jesus demonstrated faith. He lived in absolute trust and confidence in God. That is what I want to learn. That I want to completely trust God. I want to trust God completely. I want to not have an iota of doubt in my heart when I'm asking for anything. You know, that's why when we lay hands on the sick, they don't recover. Because we now remember the many hands we have laid and nobody recovered. And all those things are speaking to us. You know, all those things, all our failures and all. But Jesus didn't allow that. What, whenever he prayed, he would say, Father, I know you have heard me. And I know you will hear me. And he will thank him and do the thing. So I want to enter that realm where Jesus entered and spoke things. Where he was confident that if he lifted up these two slices, loaves of bread and fish, that it would go round. He had the confidence to make them sit in circles and knew that bread was going to reach because he had committed it to God. And that is what I want to learn this year. That is what we must all learn. To learn to enter that realm that Jesus entered and things happened. Because he had absolute trust, absolute trust and faith in God. Now, the second characteristic we are looking at today is love. Jesus lived a life of radical love towards God and man. And I want us to see that clearly, that first it was his love was to God and then for man. Now, he loved God the Father with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his mind and strength. He literally loved God to death. You know how he'll say, I will love you till death? Jesus is the one who really, literally loved God until death. We saw his commitment and devotion on a daily basis until it ultimately led to his death on the cross. I want you to see Jesus as every day waking up and all that was on his mind was God. Pleasing God. His mind, God. His heart, God. His soul, God. His body, God. His intentions, God. His motivation, God. His reason, God. His why, God. His what, God. Every day, God. And for some of us who have been in love, I understand it because when I fell in love with Pastor Ina, that was all that was on my mind. Remember when you first fell in love with somebody and you would talk with them for 5 hours, saying nothing, but because love was going on. And that was how Jesus was with God. Every moment was a love affair between him and God. And that is why miracles will happen. Because he followed God and trusted God with his all. Day and night, spirit, soul, and body. At every point, he was an assignment for God. He was thinking about God. So we can boldly say that Jesus loved God in word and in deed. Jesus expressed his love to God by obeying him completely. There was not an iota of disobedience in Jesus' life towards God. Not an iota. He never disobeyed God. He never. And in John chapter 14, verse 15, put it up there. He says, if you love me, keep my commandment. If you love me, keep my commandment. And so Jesus loved God and kept every word God told him. There was no argument. He didn't contemplate anything. He just did what God told him to do. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandment, and his commandments are not burdensome. So if God said it, if God wanted it, if he asked of it, if he required it, if he instructed it, Jesus did it. My topic today is imitating the love of Jesus. So we are imitating, we are going to try and love God like Jesus loved God. We are going to try and obey God like Jesus obeyed God. We are going to try and follow God's instructions like Jesus followed God's instructions. Because for this we were called. Christ died, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. He never picked or chose what he obeyed. He obeyed all. You know, sometimes we pick and choose what we obey. We obey tithe. We will not obey first fruit. We obey first fruit, we will not obey offering. Okay, we don't believe in tithe and first fruit, we'll just give offering. Anything I want that comes to my mind. Jesus was not like that. Jesus was a stickler for obeying everything God said. So even things that were not required of him, he went overboard to even do them. Like he said, do sons pay taxes? He said, no. But so that there is no offense, go and bring money and pay. So he kept the law to the T. Nobody could accuse him of not keeping everything. And the point is that the Bible says, for to this particular thing we were called, because Christ died, suffered, leaving us an example that we follow in his steps. So he obeyed God completely. Write this down if you are writing. Obedience is the acid test of your love for God. Obedience is the acid test of your love for God. Father, I declare my tongue loose in Jesus' name. The acid test of love towards God is obedience. And Jesus passed it 100%. Obeyed God every time. Obeyed God every time. Obeyed God every day. Obeyed God every month, every year, all the days of his life. Not one day of disobedience. Not one day of disobedience. And if we're going to be like Jesus, we must determine this year to obey God. That if you hear it, if you sense it, if you even think it, you do it. If you feel like God says, speak to that person. Just a whisper, you do it. Don't do it, you don't do it. Sit, you sit. Stand, you stand. Go, you go. It will shock you. You will have 100% success. And your life will be full of joy. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So his love towards God was complete obedience, and it was also selfless. When it came to loving God, Jesus gave up his claim to anything. He decreased completely so that God will increase. Now remember that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are the same. They are one. Him and his Father are one. But when he came to earth, he gave up that position so that he would honor God. So that he would honor God. He gave up his entitlement to any and everything. The Bible says he did not count it equality. He did not count it robbery to be... Abeg, tell me that scripture. My mind is jamming. He did not count it robbery to be equal with God. So he humbled himself. He gave up that position just so that he could humble, so that he could obey God. Hallelujah. May you never get too big to where you can't obey God. May you never get too rich to where you can't obey God. May you not have too much education, too much knowledge to where you can't obey God. May your knowledge and wisdom not make you disobey God in Jesus' name. That is a very serious prayer for young people who think you know everything. You begin to get these ideologies and philosophies. May you never get to the point where you begin to question the word of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ knew everything, yet he humbled himself and honored God. So I go back to one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. John chapter 5, verse 30. The gospel according to John chapter 5, verse 30, amplified. It says, I am able to do nothing from myself, independently or of my own accord. So I never do anything independent of God. I never independently do anything. See, Jesus will not just like some of you, you can just stand up today and say, I'm going to London because you have the money. I'm going to marry that person because you have the power, because or you have the gate or the beauty. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Jesus never did that. Never, not once. He never did anything independently and of his own accord. But only as I am taught by God and as I get his orders. As I get his orders, even as I hear, I judge. I decide as I am bidden to decide. Even the decision itself, it is how God tells him to decide that he decides. Is that not amazing? As the voice comes to me, so I give a decision. So he never gives a decision until the voice comes to him. And my judgment is right. It is just and righteous. Because I do not seek or consult my own. I do not consult my own will. Is that not powerful? I do not consult my own will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself, my own aim, my own purpose, but only the will and pleasure of the Father who sent me. That's a powerful scripture. So when he came to the love for his Father, Jesus had no voice, no choice. He had no will. He had no opinion. He had no decision. He had no voice. He only had one desire, and that was to give God pleasure, to just make God happy. I don't know about you, but every day I wake up, I want God to say, oh, she's awake again. She's going to give me pleasure. She's going to make me smile. She's going to do my will. She's one of the ones I don't have problems waking up every day. May God never decide whether to wake you up or not wake you up. Did you hear me? I say, may God never contemplate waking you up. May you not be a problem that is deciding this one, should I wake her up or not? But may you be one of those that give him pleasure on a daily basis. Somebody say amen. Amen. Jesus left his opinion, his judgments, his desires, his will, his purpose behind, and sought only to please God and to give God pleasure. John chapter 4, verse 34, he said to his disciples, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. That is my meat. That is my meat. When they went to buy food, and he was talking with a woman by the well, and they said, why are you not eating? Have you eaten something? He said, no, my meat is to do the will of God. And not only to do it, to finish it. May you finish what God put in your hands in Jesus' name. May you not leave anything undone in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So there was nothing that he couldn't do for his father. There is nothing he could not give up or give to his father. There are some of you that are holding to a relationship that God has said, leave. He said, me, I can't leave. Oh, the money when I don't put for this man, I must collect it. God said, leave the person. He said, no, I beg. I have spent too much to leave. And you're going to die in the thing. And you're drying up. There was nothing that was too big for God, for Jesus to give up for God. And nothing was too big for him to give to God. There is nothing in your life that you must hold on to at the expense of your life or at the expense of obeying God. No place he couldn't go for God. If God tells you to go to Sokoto today for missions, will you go? A lot of you young people now, you don't even know such concepts. Because all our gospel in this generation is give, take, 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 prosper, do this. But the real gospel is to suffer for Christ. Christianity's symbol is a cross. And cross is not for enjoyment. If he sends you, will you go? If you were Jesus and you were to leave heaven and come to earth, will you? See how we are leaving Nigeria and running to London, whether God sends us or not. And amazing things, as they are leaving to England, that is where how their faith is going. They don't go to church anymore. They are working 4 to 5 jobs. They are dying. They are divorcing like play. Because God didn't send them. Because they were making decisions from themselves. They were making decisions by themselves, independent of God. And there was nowhere Jesus wouldn't go. These days, you even to go to the church near you, you have refused. You are here. Your branch is somewhere. Your house is in Mbappe or is in Lugbe or in Kubwa. You say, me, it is that way, church. I belong to, yes, my class. Simple things of obedience. Go to care group, you won't go. Give first fruit offering. The people who stood up this morning, they are like 10% of the congregation. The rest, we couldn't be bothered. And then, you were singing that, I will follow more than anybody, follow you for the rest of my life. You were singing, in fact, the camera even showed you. Absolutely nothing. Oh, nothing. Absolutely nothing. Your tithe today was 1%. Unforgiveness, fool your heart. Absolutely nothing without you. You. How many people have asked you for something this week and you refuse? No errand, he wouldn't run for God. Go and pray for that person. You say, no, I beg, I prayed the other time. Let somebody else also go and pray. How many of you gave that alms that I said you should give on behalf of these sick people? How many of you? Jesus wouldn't, God bless you. Mm-hmm. Just to give a poor person something on behalf of these sick people, to give an offering. How many of you did it? How many of you did it? Let me see. A few of you did. What about the rest of us? This heaven that people died. People were fried upside down. People were caught. People were sewn in two to enter. You with your laziness, you're also wanting to enter. It's deeper than that. Oh, you see that narrow way, Monica? Monica, narrow way, eh? Two people cannot walk on the road side by side. It's one person at a time. Have you ever seen those bridges where only one car can go at the same time? That is narrow way. No fellowship. Because the Bible says for each of us will give an account of himself. I want to give a good account before God. So there was nothing Jesus couldn't do for God. Nothing he wouldn't give. No place he wouldn't go. Pleasing God was his only desire and focus. He only needed to hear an instruction or order. No delay, no argument, no excuse, no negotiation, no plea. No, Father, please understand now. No. God only needed to give the instruction. That is the kind of Christian I want to be. I want to be the Christian that follows God, that obeys God completely. He surrendered every right to anything or any comfort, spirit, soul, and body. He surrendered all to God. So having laid this example for us, he now gave the great commandment where we read. It says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So Jesus did it first and taught it. He did it and then he taught his disciples and told them to do just as he had done. He laid the example for us of complete obedience, love, selfless love, surrendered love, pleasure-giving love, sacrificial love that took him all the way to the cross. Do you know what? It dawned on me today that Jesus Christ did not really actually die for you. So don't go and quote it and put that on the internet. Hear the rest of the sentence. He came to die for God because God wanted it. One day God said, who will go for us? Who can open the scrolls? Jesus said, I will. And he came to die to please God. And in the process, you and I got saved. So the main focus was pleasing God, was giving his Father glory. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. Anything that will give God glory. If taking my life will make the world come to you and make you happy, Father, take my life and let it be. Take my life. Let me go. If it will make you happy. May that be our attitude towards God. That if it will give God pleasure, if it will make him happy, we do it no matter what it costs us. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So number two, Jesus also loved people. He loved people so much he was willing to leave his home in heaven to come and dwell among men. I hope you understand the meaning of that. The little way I understand it is like when missionaries leave America and they go to Kurdan. They don't come to Abuja. They go to your village and begin to live there. Or I don't know what you understand. So you don't know America, but you have at least seen America in the picture, in the film. Or you have seen the Buckingham Palace. It's like Prince William lives there to go and live in your village. Not the city in your village. Your village gone. Where there are huts and where they are still fetching water in the... That is even still good, but compared to heaven, because heaven cannot be compared to anything. Jesus left it and come here and came here just for you and me. It's a major sacrifice, but it was a big statement of love. He left heaven to come and dwell amongst us. He always sought to improve the condition of people, so much so that he never left anyone in the same condition he met them. He always left everybody he met better than he met them. I want to come to your house. Whose life has changed because they met you? Who have you so impacted and changed? Whom can you beat your chest and say, God, through the help of God, I helped that person? People sometimes, they come to us, they live worse off. The one that amazes me these days is that somebody is your house help. They are coming to work for you and you are paying them 20,000 naira or 30,000 naira. You say, Pastor, that's a lot now. How much is their transportation to your house? Do they have needs also like you? Do they have children? You know, we are so wicked and it's not even funny. How much are you paying your drivers? I pay my driver 60,000. That's a lot, Pastor. It's more than the minimum wage. How much is your driver's transport to your house? Have you calculated? The other day, Jerry told me he spends over 44,000 or so to travel. What if the ministry was paying him 50,000? What will happen? Are you catching my drift? So sometimes you think you are doing people this wonderful. You are not just thinking, or you are just selfish. These are millionaires, so you are owing security guard. And you are coming to clap in church?
Which God are you serving?
You are owing security 3 months salary. The salary is 30,000 the 3 months. That is what you use to buy juice for your children. When you go to, when you are coming back, Baba Oyoyo, Mama Oyoyo. And say, I will pay tomorrow, I forgot. It's wickedness. The Bible says, don't say tomorrow, come tomorrow when you can do it today. If it's in your power to do today, do it. You need to reevaluate the salaries of the people that work for you. Jesus never left anybody less than he met them. He made them better. If they were sick, he made them well. If they were hungry, he gave them something to eat. If they were dead, he raised them up. Whatever, if they were condemned, he called them and said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Everybody felt better. Everybody was better when Jesus met them. And that is what we should emulate. Everybody that comes to this church must be better off than when they came. If they are not better off, we are failing. If I am the only person who owns a house, I don't own a house, I'm still renting. But for instance, if I was the only person who owned a car, I'm the only person who is driving, I'm the big mazi of this church, then I'm a disgrace. Until I can make you better than myself, I have not succeeded. And I'm so grateful to God. Many of you are better than me in material things. I hope not in spiritual things, because I'll be in trouble that way. You understand, ba? You understand how the thing is working? Spiritually, I should be. You understand? What is that stupid man? Oh, no, I won't call the name before he kills me. He will use me to do his old joke that day. I'll not call his name. I didn't call anybody's name. God helped me. This is what I'm saying. That if people meet you, let something change. If you cannot help them, at least make them smile. Sometimes you cannot give people what they need, but at least you can make them feel good. That was how Jesus did. Jesus made people. I am always very angry at women who will braid their children's hair very well, and then they will cut the house help's hair. I hate it. Small girls, you see their hair, they will do put attachment, and then the girls that are taking care of them, that is why they'll be pinching your children when you go to work. They will be giving him poi for head. I say, if you tell a guy, I'll kill you. Until the people taking care of your children look like your children, you have not done anything. Yes. Clap unto the Lord. Yeah. Every staff that comes to this ministry must be better than when they came. Everybody that comes in contact with me must be different. It's a passion. When Monica stood here this morning, I was happy. You look at her. You know, they used to wear gold, yellow, white. This, I said, no, you don't dress like that. If you're wearing white, you wear all white. Look at Monica. She just stood here. And did you see her on that thingy? In her complete correct, wanting nothing. She has, let your life flow to somebody's life. Are you hearing me? Let them say, since she came to that family, even our life has changed. That was the testimony of Jesus. Pastor Wilson, by now I had finished the first service. Okay, so let me move. Jesus always acted in the best interest of people. He always sought for the good of others, regardless of their behavior. Jesus felt love, but he expressed anger. His love was directed to those who suffered, and his anger was directed at religious hypocrites and hard-hearted people. I pray that we don't have any hypocrites in this place. People who claim to be Christians, but you are worse than witches and wizards. You don't belong to this. I hope you are not here in Jesus' name. Is there anybody you can think of around right now in your life who is afraid of seeing you? Anybody, because they did you wrong, they are afraid of seeing you. You are not a good person. He said, but Pastor, what if they did me wrong? And what if you did God wrong? But what, Pastor, if they didn't do? How many things have you done wrong and God has forgiven you? The Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. In other words, he's giving us the ability to be like him. He has graced us to do as he did. Did you hear me? We have the grace. The Bible says all that pertains to life and godliness he has put in us. So you can treat people right. You can leave people better. You can do for people more than they deserve. Mm-hmm. In Matthew chapter 7 verse 12, he taught us to do unto others as we would want it to be done to us. But he himself didn't do that. Jesus didn't treat them the way he wanted to be treated. He did more. He exceeded. He did unto people more than they deserved and expected nothing in return. No matter how people treated him, he never returned evil for evil. Rather, he turned the other cheek, which led to his crucifixion. He went about doing good every day and healing all who were oppressed, expecting nothing in return. Have you been in a condition where somebody blessed you and they wanted you to be greeting them and bowing them to them for the rest of their lives? Anybody knows anybody, anything like that? That some people will do you something and they want you to be begging and greeting them every... God save you. They will count what they have done to you. That is not the spirit of Christ. Jesus did everything and expected nothing in return. That even brings me to a question. Why are you kind to people? What is your motive? Why are you paying the school fees of certain people so that they will come and take care of you? Why are you doing what you are doing? Why are you putting that person through training? Why did you buy a car for somebody? We must ask ourselves. I ask myself all these questions. Is it so that they will take care of you when you are old? Is it an insurance policy you are looking for? Are you hearing me? You must give expecting nothing in return. Our motive must be plain and clear. You know what that will do to us? It will save us. If they don't give us anything, huh? They give us something. Huh? I wasn't doing it for you. I was doing it for God. And so my expectation and my reward is coming from God. Are you hearing me? Motive is so important. Motive is, before I do anything, I ask myself, why? Why am I inviting Dunsin today? What do I want? What is in it for me? I must ask. And if I can't answer it, well, I won't invite. That's how I am. Because you are going to account for every action. That's what the Bible says. So you just don't do anything. And if there is somebody you're saying, after all I've done for her, see how she's treating me. You are the problem, not her. And some people will just collect it and go. They collected from Jesus, and on top of that, they killed him. And you know what? He still forgave them. He said they don't know what they are doing. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. That's really amazing. Luke chapter 6, verse 35. Did we read this in the first service? Are you serious? I didn't read it. Hell. But love your enemies. Is that what he says? Let's read it together. All of us, open your mouth and let's read it together. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. There are some people you will do great things, but they will never say thankful. God say, leave them alone. If I tell you the money I have lost in this church, you will wonder why, how I can stand. But you know how I am able to survive. I just leave it. If they pay me, fine. If they don't pay me, fine. I'm talking about tens of millions. If you don't let it go, you will die. Some of you, all your life, you are just holding that one person. If that person just pays me, if that person pays me. All money, you have left God out. God is no longer in your thought. It's that person. That person has become your God. And unfortunately, they don't have the capacity to be like God. So why don't you leave them and come to God who can give you more? All the things I have left, God has given me more times whatever of whatever I have let go. He is able to give you. But all your life, say, every time you will call the person, you will harass them, you will curse them, you will bless them, you will do whatever so they can pay you. They've not been able to pay you, so leave them alone. The Bible says leave them. Put it back. But love your enemies. It says lend, borrow, let them borrow from you, hoping not to receive it. Did you hear that? Hoping nothing in return. And your reward will be great. I have sat down and I seen alert in my phone, 50 million. Why? I'm telling you. I say, what is for? The person will say, I just want to bless you. I have sat down. I told you of the person who on my birthday was sending me 660,000 every day for 31 days. 660,000 every day for 31 days. And then on my birthday, the family sent $10,000. You know what? God is saying, if you just let this go, me, I will channel greater monies to you. So you need to release some debt this year. Let go so that God, you see, your hand is engaged, so God cannot, when you disengage this hand, then God begin to channel towards it. Lend, hoping in nothing, not hope for nothing in return. He never turned people away for any reason. He never berated people before helping them. You know that one that say, give me 5,000. He say, you. Do you remember 2015? That day. And then you did the same 20 in 2017. I pretended like I didn't see. I forgave you. In 2020, you repeated. Do you remember? So you even have the liver and the courage to come back in 2023. Hey, I don't see shameless people in my life. So you have looked me like this and you have seen that I am a fool, but oh yeah, come and collect it now. Shana, you keep on go to my house and collect it where you kept it. Anybody knows what I'm talking about? Sometimes you will tell people their life history before you give them 5,000 naira. What if God did that to us? Go. He never berated people before helping them. He did not break a bruised reed. Sometimes somebody is already guilty. Somebody is already sorry. Don't say, but I have to tell them. If somebody has, you've caught the person, that is enough judgment. There's no need to beat the person again. And the person has sinned now. We know that the person has done a shower. It is not for us to kill them. It is to comfort them. The Bible says you will not break a bruised reed. The person already cannot pay you. So don't make them feel guilty every time they see you. I've told people, what are you talking about? I'm not like that. I don't think like that. Still think I'm thinking about 50,000 naira. Is it 50,000 naira that has been keeping me? So you need to let people go. And then somebody is almost died. It has backslided. Okay? You don't go and tell them, you are going to hell. No, they already know that backsliding is not taking them. They already know. So you just comfort them back into the kingdom. You don't break a bruised reed. You don't quench a small dream fire. Anybody hearing anything I'm saying this morning? Are you learning anything? I'm supposed to be quiet, but unfortunately, so we will just finish. Praise the Lord. He did not judge or condemn people. Rather, he rescued, comforted, healed, and corrected in love. He gave and gave and gave whatever the people needed and covered all their future needs by dying on the cross. All our needs have been covered. He loved his enemies and forgave those who crucified him and those who persecuted the church. Write this down. Until we can forgive our enemies and those who don't love us and those who have done us wrong, we are not walking in love. Until we can forgive our enemies, those who have hurt us, those who have done us wrong, and those who don't like us, we are not walking in love. So Jesus, having set the standard, he raised the bar higher and gave a new commandment, to which he said, you are not going to love your neighbor like yourself. You are going to love your neighbor as I have loved you. So the standard is, how has Jesus loved me? In conclusion, therefore, I want to say that the call to follow Jesus is a call to walk like he walked, to live like he lived, to love God like he loved God, and to treat people like he treated them, to forgive like he forgave, because as he is, so are we in this world. We are called to live a radical life of love towards God and man. So the question you must always ask is, how would Jesus respond to God if God was asking this of him? How would Jesus respond to God if God was asking anything of him? That is one question. And then the second question you must always ask yourself, how would Jesus treat this person sitting in front of me who have done me wrong, who has offended me, who has betrayed me, or who needs 50,000 naira and I have only 60,000? What would Jesus do? Me, I think that one of the greatest things that has come out of Christianity, philosophy-wise or ideologically-wise, is what WWJD, what would Jesus do? How would he respond? That must be our response. So our love towards everyone, especially Christians, must be self-sacrificing, expecting nothing in return. Put up John, 1 John 3, verse 14, 1 John 3, 16. By this we know the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. But whoever has this world's good and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed. But in deed and in truth. Listen to me, everybody. People are looking for love. They are looking for acceptance. They are looking for forgiveness. People are looking for the real God. Will they find him through us? You know, I forgot to say this in the first service, but I wrote it down, that this time of economic hardship is a window of opportunity for the gospel. Hear me. It's a window of opportunity for the gospel as people are looking for who will help them. And anybody who will help him is who they will follow. Will we show them God? This time of hardship, people needing school fees, needing rent, needing this thing, that is, those are windows of open windows, opportunities for us to take the gospel to people. Because anybody you help, you can tell them anything. They will listen to you. I began to say that the world needs real Christians. It is a known fact that the bar is kinder than the church. I'm telling you. People are kinder to people in the bar than in the church. People have been wounded in church and went to the bar and got healed. Because in the bar, no condemnation. In the bar, no judgment. In the beer parlor, nobody is asking you or condemning you or judging you. Instead, you're comforted. That serving, they just keep serving you alcohol. They're comforting the person. You are laughing. What do we use to comfort people? In the bar, they listen to one another. In fact, sometimes they cry to one another. They sing songs, church songs in the bar. Am I lying? But we, somebody comes and say, you? Is it not you the other day? Yeah. Even usher and greeter. Abeg, park here, park here. If you're not parking, go back home. Nobody will do that in the bar. In fact, they will. If they can do you valet service, they can collect your car and go and park for you and say, come on. Come. See, the devil knows customer service. It is only in church we don't have it. We are so like this in church. This is how our teachers are sitting. We are sitting like this, so like good people, our hearts are like, I'm like, move. Don't sit near me, be careful. Stop chewing gum. You, move. That's how we talk. I've seen grip, move if you see ushers and greeters sometimes. Move. Especially those ones that wear cap and no earrings. You know what? I want our church to be the most loving church. That if they come with short dresses, we let them. The dresses will keep going down as they keep coming. That we don't drive them. I want us to be the most loving care group. I want your family to be the sweetest family. Like Dr. Ochoche's children. It's like, what are you teaching church? This is how we live in our house now. That is a good testimony. Your wife, God didn't give you that woman to beating her. Or your husband, for you to look at him, look at you, chewing gum. You might call yourself a man. I beg, shut up there, I beg. Go and see real men, like so and so. You have emasculated the man. You don't remove everything from your body, nothing there again. That is not your role. May we be the most loving people. May we love like Jesus loved. And may people be different because they met us. And may God bless you. I love you.
Thank you for listening to this message. You will be blessed when you do the things that you have heard. You can make a brand new start in life by becoming a child of God. It's as easy as believing in your heart as you say the following prayer. Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. Jesus, come into my heart today and be my Lord and Savior. I declare right now that I am born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Congratulations if you just said that prayer. It is important that you join a Bible-believing church immediately so that you grow in knowing Christ. We would love to have you visit our church in Abuja, Nigeria. For more information about this ministry, you can visit our website at www.fwcabuja.org. God bless you.
Family Worship Center. We care.